and doing what you're doing. God has a number one purpose for man. He also has a secondary purpose. And I'm going to talk about that today. And these two purposes are should be the most important thing in your life, above everything and everybody else. If you're doing these two things, you're going to be pleasing to God. If you're not doing these two things, you have missed the purpose of your life. So it's extremely important to understand this. It's probably nothing that you haven't heard before, but I believe God wants me to just emphasize this today. And I want to say again, salvation is just the beginning of the process. So many people say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, so I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, live life the way I want to, because I know I'm going to heaven. That is not God's purpose for salvation. What he wants to do is to bring man back to the purpose that he had at the very beginning, that he lost in the Garden of Eden, and we lost when we lived our life without God. And so regardless of how successful you are in the world, if you've missed the number one purpose of God, you have missed it all. You've missed the whole thing. And I can't imagine standing before the Lord and trying to explain how we missed his purpose, particularly if you're sitting here today. It's going to be a tough thing. Everything is made for a primary function. A pencil is made to write. It has a secondary purpose, to erase. So a pencil is made, number one, to write, number two, to erase. A car is made, number one purpose, transportation. Number two purpose, beauty and comfort, you see. A watch, it doesn't make any difference how beautiful a watch is. If it doesn't keep time, it's not worth much. So the number one function of a watch is to tell time. Number two purpose is to look good. First function, second function. God made us for some purposes. Number one purpose, number two purpose. I'm going to talk about those today. Now, if you don't have the number one purpose, the secondary purpose doesn't mean anything. If you have a car that doesn't run unless you just like look at cars, it's not worth much. Actually, God never creates anything unless he has a purpose for it. Whether it's the grass, the trees, the moon, the sun, and you and me. He never creates anything without a purpose. Many people live their whole life, maybe are successful in the world, but miss the whole purpose of their life. What good is it, you see? Now that's the issue. So the point is, you can be a billionaire and miss the purpose of God for your life. Now, that's a sad thing. I was reading the other day about Warren Buffett, and he's a billionaire. I don't think he's a Christian. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think he is. And he has learned how to make billions. He pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. He started with basically nothing. We were at a garage sale yesterday, and a lady said there was a young man cutting grass next door with a helper. And she said, see that young man there? And I said, yes. And she said, he's from the neighborhood. He started out knocking on doors, asking people if he could cut their grass. And so he started getting customers cutting his grass. And now he has bought a truck, he's bought a trailer, he's bought all kinds of equipment. He does commercial mowing. He's doing all kinds of He has a successful business, and he's worked hard to get it. But if he isn't doing the number one purpose in his life, what good is it? You see, what good is it? He's been very successful. Now, some people would say, and I've heard this many, many times, We've been saved to serve God. And I don't argue with that. Some people say, well, we've been saved to evangelize the world. We've been saved to tell people about Jesus. I don't argue with that one. Some people say we're saved to go to heaven. That's a good thing. Some people say we're saved to go to church. That's okay. Some people say we're saved to be good. And that's not a bad idea. But that's not the main purpose that we're saved. And we have to understand this. It's really interesting. If I was going to save something, if I picked something out of the junk pile and I cleaned it up and shined it up and repaired it, I would save that out of the junk pile to become what it was designed to be in the first place. That would be the reason. That's exactly what God does with us. Salvation is to take us out of the junk pile and to clean us up and repair us and to get us ready for what God created us for in the first place. That's what salvation is. People that are saved do go to church. They do evangelism. They are hopefully good and all of these things. But that's not the major purpose. That's not why God redeemed us or bought us with his blood on Calvary. That was not the reason. We've talked about many of these things before, but if we're going to be what God created us to be, then obviously we have to be saved, redeemed, born again, whatever term you want to use. And so I'm going to, let's look in some scriptures this morning. Let's go to Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and verse 36, and this is extremely important. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Now, you have heard this before, and here's what it says. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So that gives us an idea of why we were designed by God. What was the purpose of God making us unique and making us what we are to be? Now I want you to go to 1 John, not John, 1 John, in the back of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. I think you'll get the picture as we go along. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now it says something very interesting in verse 3. It says, that which ye have seen and heard we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So this would say, our number one purpose in life is to love God and have fellowship with him. That's number one. What does fellowship mean? It means communion. It means contribution from both parties. It means companionship. It means being in partnership with. It means having a common purpose. You and God having a common purpose. Okay? Now, it also means having an intimate relationship. Having an intimate relationship. Now, so our main purpose is to love God. And that's the number one priority. That should be more important than anything else in your entire life. So, we're to love God with all of our mind, all of our spirit, all of our soul, all of our body, and every single way. Now, another word for love is enjoy. What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy God? Or is he just somebody you have to serve and it's just a big drudgery and there's really no joy in it, whether you come to church or whatever you do? But the answer is very simply, what we enjoy, we love. I love to do this. That means you love to enjoy this. And so our purpose is to love and enjoy God. Now here's what something called the Westminster Catechism says. The chief end and duty of man is to love God and enjoy him forever. That is why you were born. That's why you were created. That's why you were planned by God. That should be the number one purpose, the number one joy, the number one blessing in your life is to love God and enjoy him forever. Now, most people think religion is just a series of activities. You read your Bible, you come to church, you tell people about Jesus, you do all of this stuff. And that's probably what religion is, but it's not the number one purpose of God. The number one purpose of God, I'll just keep saying, is love God and enjoy him forever. Now, enjoying God does not mean necessarily doing all the stuff. You can do all the stuff and not enjoy God. You can do all the stuff and not love God. You can do all the habits that Christians are supposed to do and still not love God. It's enjoying God, loving God, knowing God, seeking God. And if you seek God, you're going to know him. It's a continuous seeking of God. It's knowing that God comes out of a deep personal relationship. Now, do you love God? You see, we're not done. Now, that's the number one goal. It's called the number one function of life, the number one purpose. Just like a pencil is to write, for you it's to love God. You shouldn't love anybody else more than you love God. And we are to enjoy him. We are to express that love in whatever reason he has and whatever purpose he has. And one of the ways you love God is seeking him constantly on a daily basis. Seeking him in everything. Seeking him in everything you do. Seeking him. Whenever I go to garage sales, I seek Christian things to see if somebody knows the Lord. I have a conversation with them. I see if they have Christian books in there and anything I can find. My whole purpose of my whole day is seeking God. I don't have any other purpose in my life. I don't want any other purpose in my life. That's my purpose, seeking God, loving him. That's all I want to do. That's all I care about. Doing. And then when you're seeking him with all your heart, it's like if you really love God, you're going to seek that. If you really love a person, you're going to seek that person all the time. You're going to be thinking about that person. If you're not around that person, you're going to call them up. If you don't see them during the day, you want to see them at night. You don't want to be away from that person if you love that person. That's a number one priority. And it's the same way with God. Seek Him in everything. Get up in the morning, talk to God. Talk to God during the day. You go to bed at night, you talk to God. And you seek God. You seek the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, so we just keep on seeking Him. That's what the Bible says. You don't just seek Him and find Him. You keep on seeking Him. We'll be seeking the things of God throughout eternity. This is a love relationship that'll never be broken, you see. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And he goes into all of that. But Paul's number one priority wasn't starting churches. It was knowing God. And that doesn't happen in 5 minutes. A relationship is built over a period of time. You marry somebody, that's just the beginning. Isn't that right? I mean, you're going to learn a lot of stuff you didn't probably know before. Hopefully not too many things. But the issue is that we come to God when we get saved, and then it's a process the rest of our life and then into eternity knowing about Him, because you'll never get it all. Because God is so infinite above us and so forth that we'll never know it all. We want to seek Him. If you don't seek God, you're going to remain in the captivity you were in before you got saved. I'm going to say that again. If you don't keep seeking God after you come to Christ, you're going to remain in the captivity you were in before you got saved. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you some interesting things here today, you see, that we need to know about God. Now, our character goal, and you have a primary goal, that's seeking God, loving God forever, enjoying Him. Then you have a secondary goal, and that is your character. Allowing God, transform your character. That's the secondary thing. You see, if you don't know and love God, your character is not going to be transformed. But so the issue is, the second part of this is we want to become a child of God who is made into His image and likeness, that God can have fellowship on a continuous basis. Number one is to love Him and enjoy Him. Number two is very simply this: to allow God to transform us so that we will become like Jesus Christ. That's the secondary purpose. A lot of people do the first one, sometimes do the first one, but they ignore the second one. They don't allow God to change their image, to change their insides, to change their soul. And so as you seek Jesus, these things begin to happen. Look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Okay. Now, I'm going to take you some scriptures. I'm going to tell you some things, and hopefully these will be life-changing. Luke 2 and verse 52. And that says, and Jesus, this is interesting, even Jesus Christ as a man, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus had to learn how to love God as a human being. Not as God, which He was, but as a human being, He had to learn to love God as a human being. That's what that verse says. He increased in knowledge and wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, look in Romans 8:29. You just constantly see throughout the Bible this process of what God wants to do. Now, this is secondary. It's not the number one, but it's secondary. Romans 8 and verse 29. Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I want us to say this together. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. There it is, the second purpose of God. He said that he wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It says so right there. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn. He was the firstborn again one. He was the first one. He's going to get a double portion. He's going to get all kinds of things that the firstborn would get. But we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. That takes a lifetime. That takes the rest of your life. That's the purpose we're here. Number one, love God, enjoy Him. Number two, to become like Christ. Not be some character that doesn't relate to anybody. We're to be conformed to be like Christ. And when we are, we will go through some of the same things He did. Listen to me. That's a fact. Then we help other people. When you have two people have to come together and be somewhat compatible, and when they have this relationship and come together, they have children. We don't do evangelism till we come together with God and begin to become like Him, and you're automatically going to do all this other stuff that some people think are the main thing, and I tell you, they're not. It's not the main thing. Evangelism is extremely important. It's in the plan of God, but it's not the main thing. It happens when we come together with God, and you automatically make babies. Are you listening to me? When you love somebody and come together in fellowship with them and have, if I can say, intercourse with them, you're going to have babies. That's the way we are to have children of God. We're to have people be saved, is we're so close to God and so involved with Him, it happens, you see. Now, then, after we become close to God, become like God, then we help other people seek Him and know Him, because we want them to know the same one we do know. We want them to know the same blessing we have, you see. That's why you evangelize. Some people just evangelize because they say, I'm going to see how many notches I can get on my gun, they call it, and see how many people they can get saved. Well, that's great. Well, what kind of relationship do they have to Jesus? You see what I'm saying? We get the whole thing backwards, you see. And I'm telling you how to be successful in life, how to be successful in God. You can't give something to somebody else you don't have yourself, you see. Let's look at Galatians 4:19. I want to look at several scriptures here. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. I want you to mark these down. You can go over them again later. And Galatians 4 and 19. And this says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you." God, the desire of Paul that for his people wasn't number one to evangelize. It wasn't number two to start churches. All that's good. But it was that the people he knew would travail in birth until Christ be formed in them, you see. And that's what this is all about. The seed of God comes into you when you get saved, comes into your spirit. And from out of that is supposed to come others, children, you see. God put His seed in you to become like Jesus, to love Him and to have children. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual children. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. You just see this throughout the entire Bible, you see. And I want you to see, we have a tendency when we read the Bible, we ignore things that we don't understand or we don't want to do. And we don't take the whole thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, But as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of life, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. Become like Jesus. That's the plan. We're to become like him. We'll look at it quickly. 1 John, again, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Now, I know that people read this stuff and they just pass over it and they don't take it for themselves. The Word of God is for us. All of it is, not just part of it. 1 John 4 and verse 17. Herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. What that says was, you ought to be happy to go to heaven because you've allowed yourself to become like Christ on this earth. That's what it says. You ought to have boldness. You shouldn't be afraid to go and stand before God because you've allowed him to make you like Jesus Christ on this earth. And most people think that that means that you're supposed to do all the works of Jesus. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. The other part is we are to love him, enjoy him, allow him to make us like Jesus. Then all these other things come in your Christian life. But we're to do the first thing. So our function, number one goal, love and enjoy God. Number two goal, let him make us in character like Jesus Christ. Now, as long as you're growing in the Lord, you're being successful. You see. The journey is just as important almost as the destination. What you do in the journey of life is so important because it's preparing you for the destination. How many people are going to stand before the Lord and have no clue what they were supposed to do after they got saved? Have no clue. And Jesus will be up there, well, how'd this go? How'd that go? You say, what are you talking about, Lord? Well, it's in the Word, you see. God's original intention, we would love and enjoy him. His second purpose, we would be like Jesus. It is so easy to bypass that part and do the works of God. Anybody can do the works of God. How many can be like Christ? You see. And so we have a definite purpose in our life. Now, it's interesting. Adam sinned. We turn from the purpose of God until the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to redeem us back to what we were supposed to be in the very beginning. So we encountered the cross, we were born again, we were baptized into the body of Christ. And to be honest with you, most Christians never move past salvation. They never move past that point. They just live their life and struggle through life with no particular purpose other than eating and sleeping and working and maybe family and a little fun here. But that was never the original purpose of God. Now, if you're no longer growing in Christ, you're backsliding. You want to know what backsliding is? Talks about it in the Bible. Some people think, well, I'm backslidden, I'm lost. No, you're just not going forward in Jesus. And the minute you don't go forward, you're starting to move backward. And that's just the way it is. And all the world, the flesh and the devil moves in and defeats the whole purpose of your life other than becoming a Christian. I ran to a lady yesterday. It was over at Mary Ann building there. They had a craft show and a bunch of stuff, and she invited us. We went over there. And I was standing there, and an older lady came up to me And she said, I bet you don't know who I am. And I said, no, I don't. She said, my husband landscaped your house when you lived over on Marriott Drive. And I said, well, that's great. That's wonderful. I remember him and so forth. She said he died 2 years ago. And so here she's there with there's a lot of single, obviously, people where Marianne lives. And you know, but she said, I said, where do you go to church? She said, I go to First Covenant. She said, I'm a deaconess over there. And she said, I can't look back. I've got to keep moving forward. I can't look back. I've got to keep moving forward. Her husband died, but she's not complete in what God has called her to do. You understand? She's keeping on moving. She's keeping on going in the Lord. She's going after that number one purpose, loving and enjoying God. And the number two purpose, becoming like Jesus Christ. And she was a pleasure to talk to because she was full of Jesus. And she didn't stop. She kept on moving, you see. And that's what we're to do until we can't breathe or move anymore. You have to keep on going. From the very beginning, God wanted a family. But he wanted a family like his own son. Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? We always think, well, he wants his family, you know. He's got all these people out in the world to know him. Well, he wants them to be like Jesus, you see. If you're no longer growing, if you're no longer seeking God, if you're no longer learning, you're going backwards. And it's called backsliding, you see. And God always has a purpose for everyone that can do anything in this life. God has a purpose. Doesn't make any difference how young, how old, anything else of that nature, you see. God wanted people he can love, like his son, you see, and who would return love to him. His purpose has never changed and never will. And you can't expect it to, you see. He's going to do this or he's going to do it without us. He's going to do it with us or without us. God's plan isn't going to fail. He's going to have a family up there that's like Christ. Nothing's going to stop the plan of God. You just have to choose whether you're going to get into it or not, or stay out of it, whichever. Are you going to accept what God wants for your life? And then you have to start praying, God, work this in me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Make me like Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Find out what he was like. Find out what God wants to do. There's nothing else as important as that in life. So the purpose is to become like him. That's the purpose. Besides loving God with everything. You know, we're going to get rewards for this in heaven, but that's not the main issue. Success in life is doing what you were created to do, love God. Happiness is life if doing what we were made to be like him. That's happiness. Can you be happy in this life? Yes, if you're allowing God to make you like Christ, you see. God didn't want you just to be on this earth and struggle around and wallow around in life and not know where you're going and not have a plan and not know the purpose of the whole thing, you see? And then you're going to give your life. The third thing would be then give your life to do what God has you to do on this earth. It's really interesting. Now, it kind of comes down to this. You love God, and then you obey him to become like God. We'll never be God, but we'll be like God. You understand? And I'm going to tell you how serious it is. I heard a missionary tell this story the other day. It was a very interesting story. He did this for a devotional in a group I was in. And this missionary, who is now the acting pastor at First Evangelical Free Church here in Rockford, He was born in a place called Zambia in Africa. That's where he was born, because his family went to this place in Africa to do missionary work, start a missionary station, start an orphanage, and do a whole bunch of stuff. And so he was born over there and raised over there, and eventually came to the United States, got an education, became a pastor, and so on. But a little while back, he went back to Zambia. And there's a river in Zambia that's a very famous river. People come from all over the world to do rafting. You ever heard of rafting? They go down the rapids, and this is one of the most exciting rivers in the world to raft. And so people come from all over the world to go there. And he went back there with some friends, and he was going to raft down this place. Well, he was smart enough. He got himself a guide who had been down the river before, knew the river. And he said, "I want you to take us down the river in this raft." And the guide said this: "People die going down that river rafting every year. People die going down this river. That's how rough it is." He said, "I can take you down the river and you'll be safe. But you'll have to do exactly what I tell you to do, or you may die. Nothing wavering, exactly what I tell you to do." So they get in the raft. They start down this river. I mean, it is something. This thing is moving. There's rocks every place. This guy knew the river. Now he said, "When I tell you to hold on with all of your strength, you hold on with all your strength, or you may end up on the rocks." And so they're going along, and all of a sudden he said, "Hold on!" And this preacher held on to the rope and got down on his knees and held on with all of his strength and almost flew out of the raft, holding on with all of his strength. And they went down this river just like this. Certain times he'd say, "Hold on." Certain times he'd say, "Get down in the boat and hold on." And then they came to a place where he said, "We're going to the shore, and I want you to get out and walk." And everybody thought, "Oh, come on, we've gone this far. Why should we get out and walk now?" He said, "I'm going to show you why you should get out and walk." Everybody got out. He let the raft go down by itself. All of a sudden, it shot about 30 feet in the air and came down on the rocks. In other words, they would have died. Now, God tells you, "I've been through this life. I know where the bad places are. I know where the good places are. I know when to tell you to hold on tight with all of your strength. And I know when to tell you to get out and walk, because that's going to be the best thing for you to do." And the moral of the whole thing is very simply this: God knows this life. Jesus suffered everything you have ever suffered in your life. It's very interesting. If you study Jesus on the cross, you'll find out that he suffered for everything the nation of Israel has ever suffered. It's really interesting. He suffered for everything you have suffered. He is the guide. Now listen to me. He said the most important thing in life is to love God and enjoy Him forever. The second thing is to follow the instructions perfectly to become like Jesus Christ, and you will be a success in eternity with God. How are you doing? Do you have the right purpose? Are you letting God transform your life like Jesus on a daily basis? It doesn't mean you can't enjoy things. It doesn't mean you can't do things. But it means you pay attention, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And sometimes He said, get out and walk. And sometimes He says, hold on with everything you have and I'll take you through this. That's what the purpose of God is all about. If you're still there, say amen.
Amen.
Now you know. Let's stand before the Lord.